Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
I want to get straight into it because I really do believe, I know that this word is going to help some people get out of a place that they don't want to be in and get into a place or on the journey to a place that God is calling them to be in. I believe that this morning's message is going to get some of us out of a place, get you jolted out of a place that you don't want to be in or that you didn't even know that you didn't want to be in until we started talking about it. Now you know that we don't want to be in it. And start to get you on pathway to a place that you want to be in. Amen. Somebody say, today's bread. Today's bread. I encourage you to bring your Bibles to church. And if you didn't, take out your phone right now. It's a good place to take notes as well. It's always great to take notes in church because we don't want you to leave church here. We want you to take church home during the week. Amen. What we talk about and everything here doesn't matter, won't matter and won't count in your life if you don't take it home during the week. My pastor, Pastor Lorne Tebbit in Calgary, said to me, Sam, every time you preach, make sure you put a handle on the package. That means give the people a message that they can carry home. And so take notes and we're going to see the Bible come alive. Amen? Amen. All right. My iPad's recording me. How is this happening? I don't even know what's going on. Excuse me. Look, I recorded myself on my iPad. Who wants to listen to it? Just to reiterate. No. All right. Today's bread. Turn to the person next to you and say, today's bread. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 to 3 is the passage of scripture that Jesus quoted when he was in his fasting journey, when he was going through his time. So, like, Dallas asked me this week, Sam, what would you say about people questioning whether fasting is relevant for today? And she posted it on Instagram, and I want to repeat it because I think it's relevant. Is questioning whether fasting is relevant for today is the same thing as questioning whether breakthrough is relevant today. There are some things that you won't break into, that you won't break through, that you won't possess in your life without taking some time to set aside your agenda, to set aside your needs and your wants and position yourself under worship before God. And fasting is quite aggressive worship. Everybody fasting says, amen. And so Jesus, before he did anything, went through a period of 40 days and 40 nights where he fasted in the wilderness. At the end of that time, he was going somewhere. He was doing something. He knew his purpose on the planet. And the devil tempted him, and he responded to Satan with this statement saying, man shall not live. I've learned something. I've learned something. Through this time that man shall not live by bread alone. Somebody say, today's bread. In this story, in Deuteronomy 8, it's referring to a season that the Israelites went through where they were coming out of something they didn't want to be in and moving towards something that God wanted them to be in. And they had bread that was called manna. The literal meaning of manna means, what is it? Because nobody knew what it was. They'd never seen it before and they'd never seen it again after that. And there is a word that is here for you today that you didn't know before today. And then you won't need tomorrow. It's today's bread. And the manna only lasted for a 24-hour period. It had an expiry date. They couldn't eat it the next day. It rots. And I think the rhema, the fresh word of God, is something that you can't use for tomorrow's problems. You can't use for yesterday's problems. You only use it for the issues of today. Somebody say, today's bread. So Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 to 3, the passage that Jesus quoted, he quoted this book, three responses to the enemy twice out of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy was one of his favorite books. How cool is that? When was the last time you read Deuteronomy? Is it your favorite book? Or are you like the rest of us and we just stick to Psalms? I know. It's because, oh my gosh, I don't feel any good today. I've got to read another psalm. No, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy's not like that. Check out the first verse in chapter 8. It says, be careful to follow every command. It's like, comes out of the gate just like, what are you doing with yourself? Just follow what I've already written. Some people don't get a fresh word from God because they're yet to act on the written word of God. Oh! Some people are yet to get something fresh from God. They're like, God, I don't hear your voice. I wonder about your voice. What is your word for me today? I want to hear something fresh. And God's like, my voice is written in 1,000 pages in your Bible. When was the last time you read that? God has already spoken. You can't try and exploit the relationship with God. You can't try and manipulate it that you have some sort of special access point to God when you neglect what's already written in His Word. And I love that it says in Deuteronomy 8, it says, be careful to follow everybody say every. Every command I'm giving you today. There it is, today. Today's bread. So that you may live and increase. Wow. That you may enter and possess the land the Lord promised. Point one is that we're called to go from just surviving to thriving. Living is about surviving. Increasing is about thriving. Entering is about flirting. Possessing is about ownership. You can enter my house, but unless you do what's required to own the house, you'll never experience what it is to possess that house. God is promising a future in your life that you are yet to possess, and there's a today word. There is bread of today that He is speaking to you so that you can go from a place of being a tourist in the promises of God to being a possessor in the promises of God. How many people are done touring around the thoughts of heaven and want to come to a place of possessing those promises in their life? Do I have anybody with me yet today? Come on, somebody give God some praise. Enter and possess the land that He's promised as an oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord God led you all the way. God's going to take you all the way there. God doesn't dangle a carrot in front of your life. He's not telling you that He's got some great promised land for you. He wasn't saying to the Israelites, let's just go through the wilderness and see if you'll end up getting it. He has every intention to take you from A to Z. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He knows everything in between. He doesn't want to leave you in the place of temptation. He doesn't want to leave you in the wilderness place. He wants to take you all the way. Come on, somebody give God some more praise. All the way. I'm excited about this word if you haven't got that yet. In the wilderness these 40 years, here's the hard part, to humble and test you in order to know what's in your heart. God might take you through a process to work out what's going on in your heart. And the thing that He wants to find out is if He gives you what you want, will you still want Him? Sometimes God wants to leave us in a place. Why did they need to go through the wilderness for 40 years? They didn't. If you do a straight line from Egypt to Canaan, it's not a 40-year journey. There was a process. Sometimes we get in stuff, and sometimes God allows us to stay. God's not sweating about the thing that you're sweating about. He doesn't mind how long you're in the wilderness. He can give you manna and quail anytime He wants. We get frustrated because we wonder why the deliverer isn't delivering, but God is always constantly taking inventory of our heart and character, the things, the persistent thing, the thing the trial is producing for us, a character. And if we can allow the process of God to happen and appropriate in our life, we will go from a place from surviving to thriving. We will go from a place of being a tourist to being a possessor. You will go from the place and you will see the things that God wants in your life. The problem is, much like Kenzie, there's a ring on the ground. I've got to pick that up. Someone lost that. Oh, that's your ring. You lost that. That's how distracted I get when I'm fasting. Ooh, something shiny. I first checked if it had a diamond in it. It didn't, so I gave it to you. All right. So, Kenzie, my 1.5-year-old daughter, we're trying to teach her to good manners and we're trying to teach her to say please. The thing that bothers me is she only behaves when she wants something. Once I give it to her, then the demon comes out again. Now, you don't need me to go there. But how many of us can be like that to Jesus? God wants to take inventory of your heart. It doesn't matter how much you complain to him. It doesn't matter how much you kick a tanty. It doesn't matter how much you request. It doesn't matter how hard you're fasting. He will give you your promise when he's built the character for you to be able to possess it. He is the deliverer, and he will take you where he needs to take you as long as he understands that you're not going to walk away from him. And this is a good moment in today's service for you to take inventory of your own heart and ask yourself when the last tanty was that you kicked before heaven. I don't want to be single anymore. Why doesn't anyone love me? Why doesn't Jesus doesn't love me? I don't know why. God's like, if you act like that in your marriage, I'm not going to give you a spouse. Oh. God, you're number one. I position you first. God, there's a process. See, the Israelites, there was three places. There was Egypt, there was the wilderness, and there was Canaan. And one area is slavery. He wants to take you out of something. One area is process, and one area is promise. One area is prison, one area is process, and one area is promise. God will take you out of the prison through a deliverer. And the deliverer is Jesus. And Jesus came and will take you out of Egypt, out of your prison, and he will part the Red Sea. He will divide the curtains. He will make the way. And you will get into this thing called Christian living. And this is a process of maturity. And when you come to church, you're going to hear it straight. That you can't walk into everything God has for you if you ignore the humbling process. And that Jordan River doesn't act like the Red Sea. The Red Sea, he parts. The Jordan River, you walk into. The Red Sea, he does something. The Jordan River, it's your faith. Not everybody that was in the wilderness went into the promise, because everybody that was in Egypt that was a people of God, God delivered. I'm trying to preach something here today. Everybody that was in Egypt got taken out of Egypt by God, but everybody that was in the wilderness didn't go into the promised land. Why? Because going from this place to cross over the Jordan River threshold requires you to have some faith. You got to go into and enter into the place like the spies, and you've got to see it, and you've got to believe it, and then you've got to do what it takes to possess it. Entitled Christianity is not something that God really wants us living in. You just did it all for me getting out of Egypt. Why don't you do it all for me getting into the promised land? Now, but he still provided manna. But the first process in this fight that we call to possess the promise is this thing called surrender. The first step, which is my second point, is surrender. It was a humbling process. I had to take you through it, so I had to show what was your source. You have to know. You had to be sitting in your pain, sitting in the wilderness for long enough so that you could finally acknowledge and you could finally understand and finally remember and finally never have to go through this ever again who your source is. Who your source is. Kenzie's probably the most independent woman on the planet. If you notice kind of negative tones in my voice when I say that, everybody here this morning just thinks I got issues against my daughter. It's not. She takes after her mother. I just have issues against Jess. That's not true. I always pick on Jess when she's not in here. I'm sorry, baby. She's my queen. Don't worry. You got to be more nervous about marriages when they don't say those things in public because they're actually saying those things in private. Ooh. All right. So, Kenzie wants to do everything herself, which is really great. She's 1.5 and she's growing up. But I use these illustrations, simple illustrations, not to insult your intelligence. You're very intelligent people. But I use the simple things because I think it helps. I think it helps us get a message. And so Jesus wants to, he wants you to know that he is the source. And so Kenzie wants to do everything herself. She wants to put on her own boots, brush her own teeth, put on her own jacket. It's all good. We teach her the way. She's yet to change her own diaper. I don't know why her independence doesn't translate over into that area. That would be fair. Can you imagine that? 1.5-year-old baby going. She throws it out, though, so that's good. She tosses it in the garbage herself, so that's fantastic. And so we're walking down the front 3 steps in our house, and she doesn't want to hold my hand while she walks down the steps. The front 3 steps in our house doesn't have a guardrail. There's nothing for her to hang on to. And she's learning this. It's uncharted territory. I know that it's her destiny to walk down steps. You see where I'm going? But she won't hold my hand. One day, we're on the way doing the school run. She falls off the steps, flat on her face, in the snow, and screams like crazy. Like, wah! Crazy. And then looks up at me because I was the one that did it to her. How many of us go about our own independence away from God, fall flat on our face, and then turn to God and say, why did you do this to me? How did you get me here? Where were you when I was walking down the stairs? Where were you when I was going through that financial crisis? Where were you when I was trapped? And all God's been doing the whole time is saying, would you just hold my hand? Would you just hold my hand? I want to be your Lord. I don't always want to be your Savior. And maybe he'd need to be your Savior less if you let him be Lord more. And if we could just allow God by surrendering to him, what you're devoted to shows me what you worship. What you worship shows me what you surrendered to. Whatever you see, whatever you're devoted to is your source. And that's why fasting's so important, is because you're saying, body, you're not my source. Food, you're not my source. Jesus, you're my only source. And you're choosing as a Christian, as a devoted, it's not works-based Christianity. Friends, it's devoted Christianity. We're not talking about works to grace. We're talking about devotion to freedom. We're talking about people obeying every word written in the book of the law. That's why it says in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, it says, if you meditate on the book of the law day and night, just do what I already said. You will be prosperous and you will make your way successful. That was talking about Joshua inhabiting the promised land. But we got to walk away from some stuff that's slavery, and the enemy gets us trapped in some things that we don't want to surrender, that we don't want to let go of. The Israelites in Exodus chapter 16 verse 3 said this. They kept thinking, they weren't thinking about the future. They were thinking about the past, and they needed to surrender from all that was Egypt. Because Egypt has some pleasures. Your past might have been looking for love. And the promise of love in this world, you sleep with the right person, you date the right person, and you get their love and affection and their attention, and you'll be fulfilled. But that, friend, leaves me empty every time. There is only one source, true bread, the bread of life, that can fulfill the empty voids of love, that can fulfill the loneliness. Every promise that the enemy sets up against you will promise fulfillment, but it can never deliver. And Jesus promises fulfillment and delivers every time. And so Egypt was this place where they got fed, but they got fed enough that they could keep being slaves. Fed enough to stay alive. Fed enough, fattened enough for them to believe that they were doing okay. And in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 3, this is something they needed to surrender by, but they kept looking back at the past instead of taking a hold and walking the path out to the future. Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. They would have preferred to have died in Egypt when they sat by pots of meat and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out, Moses, into a wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. When God's trying to take you through a process, it often feels very difficult. But he's trying to take you out of a place of a slavery mindset to process some new thinking in you so that you can take on the mindset of the promise. And sometimes that process of pain is something that we've got to go through, that humbling, surrendering process. But there was pleasures back there. And if we can't be renewed, if we can't be born again, if we can't change, then we'll always try and appropriate Egypt in the promised land. And God is not interested in slavery. God's interested in worship. I went over to this guy's house once, probably about 2.5 years ago in Etobicoke, and he really wanted me to pray with him. He had some pretty bad injuries, some joint and physical pain and different things that because he had an accident at work. And so I went over there, ready, I'm going over there, and I'm like, God's promise is that you're going to be healed. So I go over to his house, and I say, sit down, get in the story. I'm like, hey, man, how's things going? Oh, you know, like, man, he was telling me it's so hard. You know, the stuff I got to do, I'm on employment insurance right now. And the things I got to try and do for employment insurance. And, man, nobody wants to give me anything. And it's like, so I started this thing, but it could run out. And I don't know what I'm going to do because, you know, my shoulder and all this stuff. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, don't sweat it, man. Like, it's all good. You're not in prison to your shoulder. You're not in prison to this pain. We'll pray right now. You'll get healed. You don't have to respond to any of that other stuff. And you can go back to work and let's keep living. And then he hesitated. Like there wasn't this agreement there. There wasn't this like, yeah, sure, like let's do it. Let's get healed right now. And so I like picked up on the hesitation and just said, kept talking to him. I'm like, you know, this is awesome, right? Like Jesus heals. And then I'm starting to preach to him. And I'm like, come on, he rose again from the dead. He can fix your shoulder like it's like nothing. And I'm like, you know, Jesus' blood, come on. And like, and hesitation. And he's like, yeah, but you know, like, I don't understand. Like, it's so hard. It's so hard. Can you just pray for me? Cause it's so hard. And so I'm like, okay. And I asked him straight. I'm like, you don't want to get healed, do you? Because then you won't have anything show up that can give you employment insurance. So you would prefer, now I didn't say this, but I said that just to confirm. And then he's like, no, you know, like, and so he didn't actually directly answer me. He just said, I still just really want you to pray for me. So I prayed for him and I said, God be with him. God, you know, whatever, did a nice thing. But I wasn't going to pray for something that he didn't want. And I wonder if God has prayer requests from heaven that require something of you. But because we're trapped in something in history, we're really struggling to thrive in our destiny. Because God's trying to take you out of somewhere that you don't want to be brought out of. What if there was no problems in your marriage? Then how would you have an excuse to just be a really angry person? Well, now I've got to deal with my anger. Yeah, that was the problem the whole time anyway. So I think to myself, man, this guy wants to sit on a couch and play video games And then I even started thinking, this is where I went really down a bad path. I'm like, maybe he injured himself. And I'm like, no. But now it's all good, whatever. And like, you know, I'm just using that as an example to say, God doesn't want you in survival mode. Egypt is all about being in slavery and being trapped in something. The wilderness is all about God providing your need. The promised land is all about you providing the needs of others. And God wants to take you out of a place of bondage that you can actually start to become the solution to a world that needs the gospel. And that God wants to teach you something about tithing. God wants to teach you something about sacrifice. God wants to teach you something about serving. God wants to teach you something about honor. God wants to teach you something about faith. God wants to teach you something in the process so that you can go from a place of victim to a place of victor. So that you can go from a place of being the tail to being the head. God has more for you to appropriate and possess and own in your future. He's taking you into your promise. Somebody give God some praise. Come on. Come on. But it takes courage. Surrender takes courage. And it would have taken a lot of courage for this guy to say, you know what? I'm going to work for a living. I'm going to get up and stop complaining. I'm going to get up and stop being the victim. I'm going to move away from the pleasures, the instant gratification and the long-term loneliness of sleeping around. I'm going to move away from taking that drink every day. I'm going to move away from the dependence on that drug. I actually don't have ADD. I just have told that once when I was a child, and now I've lived the rest of my life with it as an excuse, and God doesn't want me living in this process where I'm not taking full responsibility for my life because I'm putting an excuse on an old diagnosis when God has some today bread. Is God's today bread for you to be an ADD person for the rest of your life? I worked with kids in care for many years, kids that, and I know the realities of that. But God is healer. He's deliverer. He's life. And he is your source. But it takes courage. So how do I build courage then? That's a great question. I'm glad you asked. Takes me to point three. Remember his faithfulness. See, the Israelites kept forgetting that God parted an ocean. If you didn't get that in my voice crack, God parted an ocean to deliver them. God can provide. He's your source. And there is a season that you went through in the past that he answered that you've forgotten. And if you remember what God got you through and that you relied on a word for that day, you would understand that the word for today is going to work just the same, if not better. God got you through yesterday and you became the person that you are today. But God isn't happy to just stay. He loves you enough to accept you, but too much to leave you that way. So he takes you from your past and brings you into something. This is who you are right here, right now. But we're not done yet. There's a word for today that's going to take you into tomorrow. And if you remember what he did yesterday, some of the times we complain about the thing we used to pray about. You go before him with thankfulness. You used to pray about being married. Now all you do is complain about the marriage. You used to pray about having kids. Now you do what Pastor Sam did on stage today and you complained about them. You prayed and earnestly seek God for provision for a job that you now relentlessly complain about. The Israelites prayed to be delivered. God was en route to a bigger, better solution through the wilderness. But they didn't have enough faith and insight to see it. And they didn't have a preacher on this Sunday in January of 2018 to preach it. And they started complaining about the process that God had them on to get them to their possession. God got you through and you got your answer. Thank him for what he's done. And you'll have courage to let the stuff go from behind. You'll have the courage to let the past go from behind. You'll have the courage to step into a new season and understand that there is a word coming for you today. I just get the keys up. I think you might already be back there. Thank you, Jesus. Today's word. Turn to the person next to you and say, I want to eat today's bread. Yeah, a lot of people stop there. I want to eat. Yeah, we already know that. My iPhone, when I want to fix something that goes wrong in the software of my iPhone, I can't go to the blogs that were written about the iPhone 3s and apply that solution to today's operating system. I can't go back and look, oh, that's what they did when it was iOS 3.2.11.7.5. I've got to go to my current operating system to get the current solution. God spoke to you about things yesterday, but you've grown in capacity. Your operating system is upgraded. You're different. You're not in slavery anymore. You're in the process. You don't need deliverance anymore. You need devotion. You don't need God to hold your hand through everything. You got some strength in your legs now. And there's a today word for you. Some people even heard a word and lived off a word when this church first started 4 years ago. But just because you were here in year one doesn't mean that God doesn't want to change your life in year five. This church is different now. This church is growing. So what's happening across this body, what's happening across this movement called C3, we got to kind of get on the bus and understand, unless I get individual upgrades, unless I get individual words along the way, I might somehow be left behind. There's a today word. And I thank you for being a part of the core team in year one. But look around the room and I'm looking at the core team of year five. And there's a different requirement. There's a different challenge. There's a word for today. There's a word for today. With every eye closed and every head bowed right now. Thank you, Jesus. Father, move across this room. Your living word in this atmosphere. Toronto needs us to not just survive. Toronto needs us to thrive. I feel the anointing so strong right now. Toronto needs us to not just enter, but to possess. To own. To take on inheritance. To take on destiny. To take on our future. What is the living bread for today? For you. Man shall not live on human means, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And he's speaking. His arm is out. You're getting ready. We've been going for it in this prayer and fasting. Keep your eyes closed. We've been interceding. We've been believing. We've been going for breakthrough. I didn't walk through the wilderness to not get into the promised land. And neither did you. You've gone through too much to not obtain the promises. Today's bread.